Too. All right, let's go ahead and we'll get started, guys. Good to see everybody. You guys doing good? Good to see y'all tonight. Good to see all you guys here tonight. We just want to just come in and have a good time in the presence of the Lord and just let Him speak to us and just stir in our soul. I want to be around things that that stir me and move me. I'm kind of way past just wanting to be entertained and just floating through. But I want things that we'll call them Genesis moments where things begin to come alive. And I want this place when you guys come in that it stirs something on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit begins to stir and just do and activate some stuff and all that. I was talking to a guy this weekend, and we were talking about the 1A Music Festival, and me and Lori have been down there a couple of times, and the Allman Brothers always used to go and all, and Greg Allman just passed, and he said, "Hey, man, next year, I bet it's going to be good. They're going to do all probably do a bunch of tribute to him and all that." And he said, "You going to go?" And all that. And I said, "I don't know, man." I said, "Last time I went, I'd just gotten back from some worship stuff in California that just really stirred and did a bunch of stuff. And then I went out of that straight into pure entertainment, even though it was Warren Haynes is a phenomenal guitar player and all that. But I said, I was totally bored with it because it didn't make anything come alive on me. And I want to position myself, and I want you guys to get in a position, in a place to where you are hungry and you desire stuff that makes you come alive on the inside. Because that's what the Spirit of God does. And that's what He desires to do in all of us, is just come in and just cause things to be birthed and to move and to stir and all of that. So I want us to recognize the opportunity every time we come together. And last Sunday morning, I started a series on worship. I'll call it a series because it's going to be several sessions. And I may skip a session, but it'll be several sessions, either Sunday morning or Wednesday night. And we're gonna talk about worship, and we're gonna look at scripture on worship and all of that. I want us to really, really begin to get worship. And tonight I want us to enlarge the box, because we typically put worship in a box with our thinking about worship and our mindset about worship. And tonight I want us to at least expand the box. Okay. Typically, when we come in and we talk about worship, we think about music, and we think about our expression during music. We think about, when the worship team, whether it's our worship team or the radio, or if we're an event and we're, watching Crowder or Hillsong or whoever, that we're going to worship God. And that's our mindset of it, and that is definitely one aspect of it. But I want us to begin to understand and grasp that worship is a much, much broader thing than that. And I want us to incorporate where our life is a life of worship. And so I hopefully in all of this study that we'll start getting some of this. Before we dive in, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord just to really stretch our heart and our mind and just open ourselves up to Him. James, you want to lead us tonight, brother?
Come into your house, God, and just open your words and hear what you have to say to us, Lord. We just thank you for that, God. We just continue to lift up the incident in Las Vegas, Heavenly Father. We just pray for all those people and the people who are suffering from that, injured people who lost loved ones, God. We just lift that up. We lift our nation up to you tonight, God. We just love you. We know you're in control. We just turn it over to you, God. Just be with us and speak to us tonight, God. We just love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel 6. We'll get there in a minute. 2 Samuel 6. I wrote down some thoughts on in addition to what I'd put for the past weekend and all that, I started talking about what does pure worship look like. In 2 Samuel 6, we're going to look at David and Michal, his wife, and we're going to look at the contrast in them. But I put the design of man is to be God's expression of himself on the earth. Now think about that statement for a minute. The design of man in his pure, unfallen state is to be God's expression of himself on the earth. That sounds like a stretch for us, right? But the Lord said, let us make man in our image, speaking from a Father, Son, Holy Spirit, plural standing. He said, let us make man in our image. So the original blueprint for man, if you will, is that he is created in the express image of God. Can we all agree on that? I think what has happened, if you've ever done much carpentry, I think what has happened with man is we come in and we measure the first 2x4 and we cut it and it's spot on. But then instead of measuring all of the subsequent 2x4s, we come in and we'll take the one we just cut and we'll lay it on the next board and we'll mark it and we'll cut it. Because it's quicker, right, Randy? And then we'll use the next one, we'll put it up, and then we've got another board laying there. Because I do this when I'm, you know, building stuff. You know, when I was building a barn and all of this, I'm coming in. And then I'll take that next piece of wood that's laying there and I'll mark the next one with it. I won't get my tape measure, and I'll get the next board and I'll put a scribe with it and I'll do that. And then I'll get the next and so on and so on and so on. Subsequently, when you get 20 boards down the run, how close do you think the measurement is? I mean, that thing will wind up being off 3/8 of an inch. I'm like, how in the world? Because I marked every one of them. But you're moving it about a 1/16, and I'm just throwing out numbers here. You're moving it about a 1/16 every time. And that's what's happened with man, is we started out made and created in the image of God, the ultimate blueprint, okay? And then we fell in through sin with Adam in our fallen state. And so we come in that fallen state, and then we start measuring ourselves with the men. And sometimes we'll cherry pick the men, and we'll pick a great man, and we'll pick David, or we'll pick whoever you fill in the blank, whatever your hero is in Bible. And then we'll come into earthly men, and we'll pick our favorite earthly man, and we'll think, God, this guy's a good guy, and all of that stuff. But there's flaws here, and there's flaws here, and there's flaws here, and there's flaws here. Now, you should follow after men that are leading you and blazing a trail. But if you try to come in and be the express image of that man, you're being the express image of something that's flawed. If you try to emulate me, you're going to be flawed. If I try to emulate my earthly father, I'll be flawed. My dad was an awesome man, and you go around in the community, you won't hear nobody say nothing bad about my dad. I mean, you won't. You won't hear anybody say anything bad about him. I mean, everybody thought, oh, man, he's a good guy. He's awesome and all of this stuff and all that. But I knew my dad probably as well as anybody other than my mom, and he was flawed. He had some flaws. He had some things. I'm like, I don't dishonor him because of those. But if I come in and he is my blueprint, then I'm going to be off a 32nd or 3/32nds or 3/8. And we come in and God's original design for man is to be his expression of himself here on earth. You know, he took Adam, formed him out of the dust, breathed life into him, created in God's image, God's express image. It was God's expression. The Garden of Eden, I believe the Garden of Eden was God's expression of heaven on earth. I believe Adam was God's expression of himself here on earth. And in order for us to really get worship and understand worship, I think we have to start with that foundation. Because worship is so much broader than just, I'm going to jump and dance before the Lord. We think that's radical when we jump before the Lord or dance before the Lord or we sing violently and do all of this stuff and all of that. And that is an expression, but I'll be honest with you guys, that's easy. That's easy. But coming in and being God's expression of Himself on the earth is a totally different thing. In our fallen state, we cannot achieve this. It is impossible. But in our redeemed state, what then? When Jesus came in, I want to ask y'all a question. I don't know that there's a correct answer. The correct answer may be yes. But when Jesus came in and He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Was He speaking out of a place of deity, or was He speaking out of a place of pure, perfect man filled with the Holy Spirit that was in an unfallen state? Our theology, we always say Jesus was man filled with the Holy Spirit. He became man. He became one of us. He had to be one of us because He had to take the sins of humanity, and He could not take the sins of humanity if He was not man. And yes, He was filled with the Holy Spirit, but if it wasn't man dying on the cross, then the whole thing was a moot point. So we come in with our theology and we say Jesus was man, man's representative. And I know He's every bit God, but He's every bit man as well. But when He's coming in, He's saying, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Was He speaking out of a place of deity? Was He speaking out of a place of pure man that was not yet fallen, that had not fallen? I think what He is saying on that, He says, I am the express image. I am the expression of the Father on the earth. He said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen Me. I'm His expression on earth. I'm His expression. Why did Jesus spend 3.5 years walking on earth? Show the disciples how to do it. It wasn't to come in and have this ministry and save all of these people and heal all these people and all that. If that was the motive in it, then you know what it would have been? It would have been a much longer ministry. It would have been longer than 3.5 years. If it was just to come in and see how many people He could heal and how many people could come to knowledge of God and Him save, if you will, and all of that stuff, then 3 years was a cruel tease. Right? If that was God's purpose, then why didn't Jesus live to be 80 before He died on the cross? The blood would have been the same. I believe He spent the 3.5 years to show the disciples and say, this is how you do it. And He went through all of these circumstances and all of these situations, and He showed us, you know, we wore the little bracelets around for how many years? WWJD. What would Jesus do? He was our model on this is how you do it. And this is how it can be done. And so He comes in and He says, if you've seen Me, then you've seen the Father. Because I am God's expression here on earth. I'm God's expression of man here on earth. So, you see what we're doing? We're building a foundation. Anybody got any comments on this so far? We're going a little deeper tonight, okay? This is, we're getting past surface stuff.
If you
walked in the way I walked. And I agree. In our redeemed state, that is for us to aspire to. And we set the bar way short because we said, here's what we do is we come in with a mindset that I'm going to sin every day and I'm going to screw up every day and I'm going to make mistakes every day because I'm just flesh. I'm flesh and bones. And I'm frail and I'm weak and all of that stuff. And you're denying the power of redemption. The Word tells us to sin not. It wouldn't tell us to sin not if it weren't possible for us to live a life separated from sin. Now, am I saying that you're going to walk through this thing for the next 30 years and never sin again, Linda? Probably not. Do you have the capacity to do so? Yes, you do. You say, oh, I don't believe that, brother. Then you're denying the redemption power of the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's not just a positional thing, it's an experiential thing. So where I'm going with this, guys, where I'm going with this for everybody to latch on to, is that if man's, let me read this again, I just wrote this like 20 minutes ago. The design of man is to be God's expression of Himself on the earth. So, if the design of me is to be God's expression of Himself on earth, then worship is me being that. And that's what I want you to get. Worship is me being that. Which saint was it that said the glory of God is man fully alive? The Word talks about our children and our grandchildren are a crown upon our head. What that saying is they are our expression on earth. If I look at your children, then I should look at them and say, Terry Hagin made all over. In a good way and not a bad way. Right? If they're walking in what they're supposed to be walking in, and we were successful in raising them. Now, usually both of those get polluted a little bit. Usually I make some screw-ups in my raising, and usually they're not walking. But that is the ultimate design, is it not? We talk about it all the time now with our grandchildren. Doggone, I look at Keeley's kids, and it's a spitting image of Keeley. You can take a picture side by side and look at that and say, shoot, that's just like her mama. There ain't a dime's worth of difference at that age. I can say the same thing about Caroline and Ariel. You know, it's scary when they're together. We feel like we done got, you know, transported back in time 25, 30 years. Because they look in a physical appearance just like them. Yeah, the Lord said they act like them too. But wouldn't the ultimate expression be if they came up and they were the express image? And that's what we're to be before the Father. Because God created us. God created man. The design of man is for us to be His expression of Himself on the earth. So when... Here's why I'm wanting you to get bigger on worship. A craftsman that is doing what he is skillful in is worship. When the craftsman came in and they built the temple and they built the tabernacle, they built the Ark of the Covenant, when they built the palace and these guys were coming in and they were doing all of this amazing creative stuff as craftsmen, that was as much worship as a Levite with a tambourine. I'm convinced of that. A craftsman doing what they are skillful in is worship. We talked Sunday a little bit about the way that we love each other and love our wives and love our children and all of that stuff. Me being to her, the Word says in Ephesians, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And so when I love my wife the way that Christ loved the church, that's not just me being a good husband. You know what that is? That's worship. Do you know why that's worship? Because it's God's expression of Himself here on earth. I'm emulating Christ by doing that. When I love on you guys, even though I don't know you, I love on you guys. You know what that is? That is God's expression of Himself on earth. So you know what that is? It's worship. When I'm genuinely glad to see you and I genuinely give you a hug and say, what's happening, man? How's it going? I love you guys and all of that stuff. You know what that is? It's worship. That's just as much worship as me being down here on Sunday morning doing this. That's what I want us to get, guys. When I was out here cutting these fields this afternoon and trying to get them into a beautiful state, you know what that was? Worship. If I'm skillful in what I do with my career, my profession, you know what it is? Worship. I believe an athlete that is using their body and performing at their potential, you know what I believe that is? I believe that's worship. They may not recognize it as such, and they may not be given the recognition and glory to God. But I believe when God looks down and He sees Usain Bolt run a 100-yard dash, He said, that's what I created the human body to do. 100-meter dash, I guess now. I believe that. I'm convinced of that. And we come in and we have a small mind and a narrow mind about what worship is, and we live a life as a bunch of non-worshippers because we fail to recognize what worship really is. When I love you the way I'm supposed to love, that's worship. We stopped in Dyer. I had to go to Gainesville yesterday afternoon and carry parts of the powder coater, and Lori and Purdy rode with me and all that. And I dropped her by Dawsonville, and I went on over, and I came back to get her, and she came out of a store, and she came out there to the car, and there was a strange man sitting in the passenger seat. And she's like, "What the world?" And I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and there's a strange man in the passenger seat, and it was a guy I was giving a ride. And I know that's scary this day and time. I get that. And I wouldn't want her doing that unless an angel said, "All right, sit down with her," and says, "You're going to do this." But I'll still kind of, if I feel like the Lord's leading me to and all that. But a random act of kindness carrying this guy 2 miles over to a destination where he was wanting to go and just showing him kindness and mercy and grace and love and all that stuff. You know what that was? Worship. So I want us to begin to understand the broader stroke of what worship is. When you come in and you plant a garden and you carefully tend the soil, and you put a seed in it and you water it and you do all of these things, you know what that is? It's worship. You go to Deborah and Courtney's house right now, and doggone, their flowers and all just look good. I mean, they're pretty, aren't they, Lori? You know, you roll in over there and I'm like, "Gone, I wish my place looked like this." You know what it is when he's out there and he's working and he's tending it and he's cultivating it and he's doing those things? You know what that is? It's worship. Deborah did it. I'll give Deborah credit. Deborah did it. It's Deborah. It's worship from her. And I want us to understand that every aspect of our life is designed to be God's expression of Himself here on earth. And when we do that, that's my definition of worship. And I believe that's an accurate definition of worship. When the sunset paints the picture that it's supposed to paint, you know what it is? Worship. It's creation, worshiping God. When the waves roar continuously, it's more than just the moon. And the pull of gravity and all of that stuff. It's worship before God. How many of you just love the sound of the ocean? Don't y'all, isn't there something about it? You just love the sound of the ocean. It just is soothing and all of that stuff. Alicia, I believe God loves that sound too. If it was annoying to Him, He wouldn't have done it and caused the waves to do it 24/7. I believe He loves that sound, and when creation does that, that's worship to Him. And I want us to get and understand that we are God's expression of Himself here on earth. And how we live our life, is either going to be a great representation of Him or it's going to be a poor representation of Him. I'll tell you something, guys. The lost and dying world out there, they could care less about this. They won't see God in this. They're not going to see this. It's just another book to them. It's like the Quran or anything else to them. But where they're going to see God's expression is through His people. That's where He's going to see it. And when we show that and we do that and we be that, then what does our life consist of? It's worship. It's worship. Worship. Noah practicing his craft at home is just as much worship as him playing the guitar right here in front of 100 people or 200 people, or how many people are here that day. It's just as much. And the thing that I want you to get is that worship is not something that we just have an opportunity to do occasionally. It should be the expression of who we are constantly. How many times have you heard, and I'll never forget one of the early times in ministry, I heard Mark Rutland talking about this, and I just really appreciate Mark Rutland and his consistency and faithfulness and all of that. But he was preaching, he said he was preaching a sermon about the love of the Father. And we sing, "You're a good, good father" now. That's a real popular song, "You're a good, good father" and all that. And he said at the end of the service when he got through preaching, and he said there was a young lady that was in the altar, and she was crying and weeping, and she was just broken and all of that stuff. And he said, "I went down and tried to minister," and she said, I can't wrap my head around this. I can't grasp this, because she says, my father abused me. My earthly father abused me. And I don't know anything about the love of a father." And so you talk about the love of the father, and that's something that's a reproach to me instead of something that's endearing to me. And as the reason I say that is because that's the exact opposite of what it should feel like. When we talk about the love of Father God, my daughter should exactly know what that is and run to that because of the love of Daddy. My grandchildren, that should not be a foreign concept for them because the way that Poppy loves them. And when I love them right and I love my daughters right, then what is that? That is God's expression of Himself on earth. And so they see that, so it's natural for them to say yes to that and embrace that. So you see what we're saying on this whole concept tonight? Is everybody grasping this? Are y'all getting this? I know this is kind of deep. This is something that you need to chew on. But I don't want to come in on just surface and hit 3 points and say, this is what worship is, da, 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 and hit my points and then come in with a conclusion. And I could do that in 2 or 3 weeks, but I want you to get this. You anything on that, baby? You got anything on that? Lisa, you got anything on that? You want to tag on that?
About this before, and it kind of reminded me today. I saw Eric J. came to the field, and he had his lab with him. And before he was doing some hit lessons, he started throwing the ball, and that lab was just, you know, go get the ball, go get the ball, go get the ball. And that's what it was created to do, chase things,
yes. You
know, tear things apart. That's what that, and it's often like we almost need that dog's mindset. You know, we're obviously smarter than dogs. We should be, right? Some of us. But I think, you know, we put these other things that we're talking about, we start thinking and we get in our own mind that this is against us, or that, like you've just been saying, and we don't hide the word in our heart enough to counteract what we're hearing. And so that's where the Lord's trying to push me more to open this up and hide the word so that I can counteract that and get to where I need to be when something does come against me. And with the dogs, they just, hey, let me just go chase this thing. That's what, you know, I remember Lori almost getting knocked over by her laps because she threw a stick in the water. That's what, it was going to get the stick. Right. It didn't matter what was in their way. They were just going to get that stick. Mm-hmm. And luckily they averted her, but I want to do what I'm created to do.
Amen. Absolutely.
But we don't get that, and a dog does. Mm-hmm. You know, so where's the disconnect? We get all these other idols before us, or start thinking about what somebody's going to think, or, you know, what should I do instead of just acting as he's telling us.
Society tries to breed it out of us.
The culture tries to breed that out of us. In the same line that you're talking about, a dog doing what it was made to do. That's the reason Lori and I love wing shooting so much, because we absolutely love to see whether it's a duck dog or a retriever or a flushing cocker or whatever. We love wing shooting because we're dog people, but we love seeing dogs do what they were created to do. And I want to tell you something. Their expression changes on their face. When they are doing what they are created to do, their countenance changes. Their countenance changes because they're like, this is what I'm created to do. I heard an awesome testimony this week from Jonathan David Heltzer, and he and his wife Melissa are just a powerful, powerful couple up in North Carolina. The song "No Longer Slaves," they wrote that song. They've got a ministry up there, and they're just great worship leaders and all that. But Jonathan was talking about his father, when his dad got was younger and all that. He's got an older sister and maybe two older sisters, and his mom came down with cancer. She had ovarian cancer. And this is before Jonathan was born and all of that. And the doctors were, they had surgery scheduled 3 weeks from the when they diagnosed it. They had surgery scheduled for 3 weeks down the road. And he said this this old just steady, salty guy from the church, and I say salty, I mean seasoned, just, you know, just old faithful, non-flashy, wasn't no green room TV preacher or anything like that. Nothing wrong with Benny Hinn or anybody like that. I'm not knocking anybody that's got a big platform. But he's just regular Bob that sits on the side over. I've been loving Jesus for 40 years. He comes up to him in the prophetic, and he tells his dad, he said, your wife's going to have a son. And they had not announced that she had cancer yet. And said, your wife, I had a dream last night, and the Lord showed me that your wife is going to have a son, and you're supposed to name him Jonathan David. And he said, well, we just found out that my wife's got ovarian cancer, and they're going to do surgery on her in 3 weeks and remove all of her reproductive stuff. Hysterectomy. Plumbing's what I call it. And go in and remove all her plumbing. And he said, well, that's what the Lord showed me in all of this. So they go back to the doctor, like a week, make an appointment, and go back to see the doctor again before they go in and do the surgery. And the cancer's gone. Wow, lo and behold, the cancer's gone. She's not pregnant yet. She gets pregnant like a year later. And just like John the Baptist's father, he comes in and he named him Jonathan David, which I love that, Jonathan David, in that relationship. And he gave him a word after he gave him the initial word and said, your son's going to be mighty in music. And he said, that didn't happen. My son didn't pick up a guitar until he was 18. Jonathan didn't even pick up a guitar until he was 18. And then just something stirred in him. And that was a powerful worship leader. The reason I say that is not to talk about Jonathan's father or talk about Jonathan, but to talk about, and I'll call him Bob from the church. You know what Bob was doing? He was God's expression of himself here on earth. And it was through a dream that God gave him, but he was faithful to release that word. And he comes in and he didn't back down from the word. You know, he said, well, she's got cancer and all. He says, I mean, this is the word and this is what I feel like the Lord's saying and all of this. And so he was doing what he was created to do. And so his obedience, number one, positioned himself to have a dream. How many of y'all pray for supernatural sleep? You should. I do. I pray for supernatural sleep when I go to bed. I say, God, download in me. Give me dreams, give me visions, download stuff in me that I don't even know you downloaded in me, but it'll just come out at some point. I do. I pray that at night before I go to bed. But him giving that word was God's expression of himself here on earth. That was as if the Lord had spoke it, was it not? What was that? Worship. That's worship. You give him one of your players of words, worship. You give him one of your players encouragement is worship. Being a friend to a student that needs one because they're awkward and don't fit in. That's worship. Lori goes to Carrollton and she does yoga. I'm going to get to 2 Samuel in just a second. Lori goes to Carrollton and she does a yoga some. And the instructor down there went to school at Bremen. And she told Lori, she said, I love so-and-so. And it was Cindy Morris. She said, I love Cindy Morris because she said she saved my life when I was in school. She said, I was awkward and I didn't fit in and I'd go in her office and I would cry and all of that stuff. And said, doggone, said that woman just, she made me feel like I was okay. Nobody else there made me feel like I was okay, but she made me feel like I was okay. And she's turned out awesome, you know, on surface levels. I don't know where she's at with her spiritual life and all that, but she's doing well in other areas and all that stuff. And what was Cindy being? What she was supposed to be, what was that? Worship. Are y'all getting this? Y'all listen. You listen well. Good. Thank you. Get this, guys. You encouraging somebody else that's struggling going through the program. Encouraging them with a pure heart. You know what that is? Worship. That's just as much worship as you standing down front on a Sunday morning here or Life Gate or wherever you're at and lifting your hands. Yes, that's Bible and that's awesome. And I do that, you know. I worship my brains out. But that's not any greater nor any less than me doing these other things or you doing these other things. Are you purposing in your heart? Maybe you got family back home and maybe decisions has caused you to, maybe some of y'all have jacked up your family unit through poor decisions. I mean, we all make mistakes and do stuff like that. Maybe you've screwed up relationships with a spouse or screwed up relationships with kids or screwed up relationships with parents. And you purposing in your heart and saying, you know what? I'm going to let God fix me, and I'm going to get in here, and I'm going to find Him, and I'm going to get my act together, and I'm going to get my life together and all that stuff. And you purposing in your heart and saying, I'm going to do this because I'm better than the way I've been living. You know what that's called? Worship. That's worship. That is worship. You purposing in your heart, say, man, I'm going to walk this thing out for 10 months. And it sucks sometimes. You get in that inner healing, and it's not any fun. God starts gutting me, and you know everybody else starts gutting me, and all of that stuff. And it's not any fun, and I'm not enjoying this, and I don't like the constraints, and all of that stuff, and all of that. But you purpose in your heart, and you say, I'm going to do this because I'm tired of living like I was living. You're here because you want to change. I came to church tonight because I want to change. You went to the Blake House because you wanted to change in your life, because the way you were living wasn't cutting it. I came to church tonight because the way I was living wasn't cutting it. I don't come because that's what I do on Wednesday night. I come because I need it. Because I need more of Him. I need more of this. I need more of this. And so when I make that willful decision, and when you make that willful decision, that's worship. So get that and understand that.
What's the intention of your heart when you're doing that?
Absolutely.
And I know you use an example like Usain Bolt running is worship. It's not worship unless he's doing that unto the Lord, in my opinion.
Right.
I think it's because I can go and work my brains out at work to make money. And if my intention is to make money, I'm not worshiping God in that. I'm worshiping myself and I'm worshiping money. If I'm going and working hard and doing that exact same job, with the intention of, I'm doing this as unto the Lord,
right.
That's when it's worship.
Yes, yes.
You can sing the most beautiful, awesome love song in the physical that's ever been written, but if you're not singing it, if I can sing this great song, but if I'm not singing it to anybody, it's not a love song until I sing it to Cameron. Mm-hmm. All right? So you've got to purpose in your mind, in your heart, what you're doing. It's not just being good at something. It's not... Now, I see what you're saying, but I think you have to add the element that you just said. You have to add the element of, why am I doing this? Why am I talking to this student more? Why am I doing this? Why am I going this extra mile?
Right.
And you don't have to be just conscious, like, God, I'm about to worship you. It just has to be the spirit of your heart. What are you, right. What are you about?
It's when we're created in His image, it was not, obviously, God's bigger than the physical image. When it says that you were created in His image, it doesn't mean that God's a 6 foot, 180-pound dude.
I appreciate that.
You know, I'm giving that. It's not saying that. But it is saying that the nature, the goodness that's in James Siegel.
Any goodness is from Him.
The goodness is from Him. And when... Let me read one thing that I read Sunday morning. I put, what does pure worship look like? It is a condition of the heart and a purpose of the will. It's a condition of the heart and a purpose of the will. Us coming in, Big Mac, how many of y'all know Big Mac? A lot of you guys know Big Mac. Lord showed me some pictures of Big Mac before I knew Big Mac, and I'm like, dude. I mean, like, made Schwarzenegger look small. I'm serious. Get her, show you, Michelle. It's scary. Big Mac. All right. Let me see if I can articulate this. And I'll qualify what I was saying with Bolt. When we come in,
And I'll use them for example. And, you know, I won't go anywhere if he was doing steroids or wasn't doing steroids or anything like that. He was huge. But if I come in and I say, I'm going to develop my body to its fullest potential, then on a certain level, I'm coming in and saying, this is what this flesh was created to be. But that stops short of coming in and saying, the heart, the goodness, that aspect, what James was talking about. So you can have the excellence, the beauty, and you can look and you can say, man, that cat is doing what he was intended to do. He's maximizing his potential. He's developing his, you know, part of my prayer, and I don't even know if this is a jacked up prayer or not, but it's been part of my prayer for a long, long time, is God, let me be the man you call me to be. So let me be the man you call me to be. And that should be in every aspect. You know, when I used to work out, back in the day when I used to work out, I'm like, if my biceps on my frame are supposed to be like this, that's what I want them to look like. That is a shallow expression. It's an expression, but it's a shallow expression in itself. But when you breathe the life into it of my heart and my will and my purpose is to glorify God in every step, then you look at that, and that is a complete picture. You see what I'm saying? And we come in and we settle for the shallowness of it because we want excellence in all of these areas.
Like Benny Johnson, that's Bill's wife, about 6 years ago, she started having some health issues, and she just had it, you know, they traveled all the time and she was just tired. And she said, God told me flat out, either you take care of your body so you can minister for the long haul, or you're going to die a premature death and you'll not see the end of the race that I've called you to. So taking care of us physically is not just about for vain reasons. Right. It's to take care of us so that we can not die prematurely out of God's will. Because that happens all the time. And people blame it on God, but it's our doing. We bring a lot of that on ourselves by our lifestyle. And that's what we're saying is a lot of that, if I take care of this to so that I do make it for the long haul, because when you're 50, you start seeing that more. I say, ooh, I should have done this and this and this. I should have done this so I can be better when I'm 70 and 80. Because I want to be able to be ministering then like I was when I was 20. But there's things that I can do that will glorify God in my worship to glorify Him and to make it to the end. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this the whole thing. I think we're fumbling the way we're articulating this, but I do. You can't miss the heart of what James was talking about. If I walk by, if I gave that guy a ride last night so I could get in here on Wednesday night and tell everybody I gave a guy a ride last night, that guy could tell my heart wasn't in it. But when I shook his hand and looked him in the eye, he could tell if I was genuine or not. If I gave a homeless person $5 to impress my date, it's a good deed. It's a good act. It's kindness. But they can tell when you really desire to connect. People can tell when you're ministering. You can tell when I'm up here and I'm ministering, man, if I love you and I want you to get this and I want to release kingdom into you and I believe what I'm saying, all right, you guys can tell, man. I'm not some slick preacher and this is my profession. I make handlebars and work on a farm. I just do this because I love God and I love people and He's put that mantle on me. And you can tell the difference. And I think that's what James is trying for us to get. And I totally agree.
What God keeps telling me is love. He's showing me love. If you love me, you'll love to do all this. You know, you'll love to worship. You'll love people. You'll love to help. So that's what the Lord just keeps showing me, is it's pretty simple. Just love. Love Him, worship Him, praise Him.
Well, what did He say His two greatest commandments were? Love the Lord thy
God with all the heart, all the mind, all the strength. And then love thy neighbors thyself. He said he said every bit of the law hinges on these two things. And when we do that, when we have the proper, and that's why this whole kingdom thing is all about relationship. It's all about relationship with Him. It's all about intimacy with Him. Y'all hear me preaching and harp on intimacy all the time, because void of intimacy, you can't have relationship. Obviously, there are different levels of intimacy. But if I don't have levels of intimacy with you guys, then we're void of relationship. It's not the same level of intimacy I have with her, but it's still levels of intimacy. And the same with everything. And so that's why it is so crucial for us to get this thing that it's all about. It's all about this. It's all about God's expression on earth, through us and in us, and to the world. So, what time? I got mine here, never mind. All right, we got 10 minutes. Absolutely.
I heard this quote, and I think I shared it with Andrew when he got baptized here a couple months ago. The quote is, you can impress people with your strength, but you connect with them in the struggle. And anybody that's a believer has had struggles. Right? Everybody's had struggles, period. You don't have to be a believer to have that, but sometimes we try to impress people and act like we don't have those struggles. But I can connect with people because I know some of your struggles. I don't know everybody's struggling here, but I know we all have them. And it's the same thing. We connect with God when we share our struggles. And I think He gives us that strength, not to impress people, but He still gives us that strength to make it. That was something I'd shared with Andrew at the time when he got baptized. We try to hide behind that fig leaf so often and act like we're worshiping, but we're dying inside. And so again, it's just Him pulling that stuff out of us. And like Terry said, just trying to love better and love deeper and love well. And that's a struggle if we can't even love ourselves because we're trying to hide behind that facade of strength. And if we can just say, I got a struggle, then all of a sudden the Lord can usher in that peace and that joy that you've been missing. And so that connection is real.
In the text that we're in tonight,
that we're supposed to be in tonight, 2 Samuel 6, the whole thing with David and Michal is David's heart was for God's presence to dwell in his city. He came in and he recognized God's established my kingdom now. He spoke these words over me when I was young. He anointed me through the horn of oil with Samuel. And he said I would be the next king. And all of this after 20 years has come to fruition and David's on the throne. And he said, this is great, but I've got to have God's presence right here. He said, this is good, kind of like what James is saying. This is good, but it's missing the key ingredient, and that's God's presence. And he said, I so want this thing that we're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant in. We're going to prepare the place, and it's going to rest here. It's going to dwell here. I love His presence. I love Him. I love God. I loved Him since I was a kid in a sheep field playing a guitar. And just because I'm king now doesn't change that. It amplifies that. And so everything about 2 Samuel 6, that we won't have time to read all of this stuff tonight and start talking about the moment and who God is and all of that, every bit of it was predicated on David's love and desire for God to be there. He placed extreme value on that. The problem with Michal, his wife, and if you don't know the story, we'll catch up with you later on it, but the problem with Michal, his wife, or Michal, a lot of you heard her called Michal, is she did not place value on the presence of God because her father didn't place value on the presence of God. He used the Ark of the Covenant as a tool to hopefully help him win victories in battle. Go get the ark. Bring it in. We'll win. We've got it here. He didn't care about the presents. He cared about what it brought in. Much like me giving a homeless guy $10 to try to impress my date. Because she said, wow, he's such a sweet guy. I know y'all have never done anything in the flesh to try to impress a date. Didn't care about the guy, just cared about impressing her or impressing the crowd. And we've done it before. We've witnessed to somebody out of duty or out of the fact of, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do, or at least I can tell people I'm witnessing and all of this stuff and all that, not really caring if that person dies and goes to hell or not. I know ain't none of y'all ever done that. I have. Michelle, I have. I've told somebody about Jesus with impure motive. My heart wasn't breaking for them. Sometimes it was out of Christian duty. That's impure motive. That's embracing a cause, but not embracing a kingdom. But when they really get it is when I look at that person and I'm like, man, I want these guys to, I want them to get it. I want them to make it and all that. David recognized this and he loved the Lord. He wanted the ark. He wanted God's presence there. And Michael didn't. She didn't place any value on it at all. You know how I know that? The Word doesn't say that, but she did not even come out of the tower when the Ark of the Covenant was coming in. All the handmaidens were down there worshiping and praising and singing praises to God and praises to David. And she looked on that and she judged that because she placed no value on what was happening. And we've got to place value on Him and on the moment and on what He's doing. Let me get back to this, and I'm going to close up with this. We're not going to get where I really wanted to get tonight, but that's okay. I feel like we've broached a good subject tonight. The design of man is to be God's expression of Himself on the earth. You know what David did in this story? Is he came in, and his heart was to bring the Ark of the Covenant in. Not just to bring it in, but to let this be a thing that moves the nation. When they went out the first time, the Word explicitly says that they were the 30,000 chosen men of Israel went out to bring in one box that four men could carry. For some reason, James, that's always been lost on me. I've never noticed that until I was studying through this again. When they went out the first time, when Uzzah got killed, 30,000 choice, it said 30,000 chosen men went out to bring in the Ark of the Covenant. And David's heart was, not only do I want to get this, but I want everybody to get this. Not only do I want this to be powerful in my life, but I want it to be powerful in y'all's lives. And so the whole nation is ushering this thing in. That's God's expression of Himself. You come in, and when they bring it in the second time, when they do it right, they're sacrificing. He's worshiping wildly. He's free. He's wearing the garments. He's a good type of Christ right here. He's wearing the garments of a priest, a servant, and not kingly garments. And when Jesus ushered in heaven, how did He usher it in? Priestly garments. Not in the garments of a king, but priestly garments. And so He does this. They offer all of these sacrifices when they get into Jerusalem with it. And then you know what He does? He turns around and then He blesses all the people. It said that He sent basically a good portion of meat and a flagon of wine home with all of them. It said, y'all be blessed. Y'all take this and y'all go. This is the king's provision. And you go in the king's provision and all that stuff. I don't think that was birthed out of a thing. I want to impress the people. I think that was the thing that was birthed out of, man, I love these people. I love this nation. God's finally brought this thing together. And I love this and I want it to come into the fullness. You know what? I know He was in His fallen state, but you know what He was in the picture of this right here? The design of man is to be God's expression of himself on the earth. Who did he look like in all of that? You study 2 Samuel 6, who did he look like in all of that? Jesus. He was a type of the Messiah. Jesus came and he ushered in the kingdom and he was wearing priest clothes and not kingly clothes. He was the firstborn among many brethren. He's bringing all of this in. And he's blessing and releasing among all of the people and all of this stuff. And you know what every bit of that will look like? Worship. That's what it was. So this is the foundational stuff on worship, guys. Yes, go ahead, Linda.
Scripture, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. And sometimes that's going to be something that might not be what we're necessarily good at. It's saying whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Sometimes that's a hard place. Sometimes that's in a place where you're being treated unfairly, or where things aren't going great for you, and you just want to give up, and you just want to, you know, I'm done with this. But the word of the Lord is saying, whatever you do it as unto me. That is worship. And those onlookers, I mean, and it's hard. I've been in this place. I know what this place looks like. When you say, Lord, I love you, and I'm going to do this, and I'm doing this as unto you. I know it's hard, but with your help and because of your Holy Spirit, I'm going to do this, and this is for you. This is unto you. Y'all, that's like Jesus going to the cross. Jesus did, he did things, he walked on this earth and he suffered things that wasn't pleasant. It's not all going to be pleasant. I guess that's what I'm saying. That's why it's not all going to be pleasant. But when we're doing what we do as unto the Lord, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to clean this toilet. I'm going to whatever this task is before me. I'm going to do it as unto you. This is to you. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you in everything I do. Then there's this cloud of witnesses over here that you don't even know. You don't even see them, but they're watching. That, you know, the Word talks about us having this hope. People look at us and they don't understand why we have this hope inside of us. They see us walking through hard times. They see us walking in the valley, and we have this hope. We got this joy. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. And it's going to be some hard times. It's not always going to be mountaintop. But whatever you do, do it as unto Him. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it glorious. That's what makes it glorious. And it happens. It happens. Joy comes. And it's pure obedience. I mean, it's obeying. It's obeying what the Word of the Lord says. Yes, Lord. I surrender. I'll do it.
And I love that facet of that you brought up, because earlier when I was using illustrations, I was talking about craftsmen and things that we were excellent at. And that is definitely one aspect of it. But that's just as significant of an aspect of it as well. Because, yeah, I tell you what came to my mind. How many of you guys, when your kids were little, maybe your wife was sick or she was out of town or something, and you had to take care of your kids and get them ready for an event? That happened to you? Happened to you guys before? I remember one time Lori was, when our kids were young, you know, and they were like, I don't know, man, 2 and 5 or 3 and 6 or something like that. And Lori was out of town for something. You know, maybe she's going to a woman's conference or something like that. Well, it was Dad's job to get them ready for church and, you know, the little ones, you know, with, you know, changing diapers and all of that stuff. And I'm not a professional diaper changer. I do okay, and I'm not scared to change a diaper, but I'm, you know, it's not, she'll make fun of me sometimes because it's kind of sideways and looks jacked up and all that. But I remember one time she was gone, and my job was to get the kids ready for church and all of that stuff. And, you know, back then you did the big hair bows and all of that stuff and everything. You know, it was back in the 90s, I guess. And my kids looked so jacked up that day. I mean, all the women at church ratted me out. You know, they didn't have iPhones back in, so they weren't taking pictures. But they all ratted me out and says, oh, my gosh, Aaliyah and Errol, you know, they came in and all of this stuff. But you know what? I did it with a good heart. Going back to what James was talking about. I did it with the right heart. It wasn't like, I can't believe this, and fussed and all that. I'm like, all right, girls, here we go. We're going to give it a good shot. And even though I wasn't excellent at it, really stunk at it. They made it, and they made it to church and all of that. But you know what that was? Because I did it with a good heart, even though it wasn't something I was good at. It's worship. And when we go through tough stuff and we go through stuff we're not good at, I agree with you. And that's a good facet because I didn't bring that up a while ago. That's a great point. Great, great side of it. And all. So, do all things as if you were doing them unto the Lord. That's it, guys. That's it. All right, we're out of time. Let's stand to our feet. We busted the watermelon tonight. I don't know if we ate any or not, but we dropped and busted it. So now we're looking at it and figuring out what to do with it. But I hope it provoked thought among all of you. I hope it expanded our idea and our mindset about, we'll hit and pick apart some details and all on worship and all that, but I hope it began to expand your mindset about what worship looks like to God. Not what worship looks like to the church, but I believe what worship looks like to God. And sometimes it's not what you necessarily think it's going to look like. I've always marveled at David that he could go out and he could slay his hundreds at the word of the Lord, come back and wash the blood off, and then pick up his guitar and worship the Lord. Which was more worship? Was killing Goliath worship? Dang straight. It was. So, all of these things, if our it's a condition of the heart and a purpose of the will. So just think on that. Y'all think on that. Father, we come to you and I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the many facets of this that we looked at and we saw. And I thank you for the different angles and viewpoints and coming and just stretching us and challenging our mind and challenging our way of thinking, Father. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just provoke thought in all of us. That, Lord, our life would be one that's aspiring to be your expression here on earth. And I pray for each person here tonight, Father, and I pray that we would just press in for a relationship with you. We would long for that. We would see the value in that and your heart in that toward us. And God, let us just walk this journey out. Let us grow and be stretched by the Holy Spirit and by you and your word. And Lord, until we become that express image. I guess what you talked about in the epistles is us becoming that express image. Lord, let us strive for that. Let us long for that. A place of love and a place of purity. Lord, just do what only you can do in our hearts tonight. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. Jeffrey, will you?